There's no journalist I learned more from than Wayne Barrett. In the late 1980s, as a low-level city worker, I was riveted by his book, City for Sale, about corruption in Mayor Ed Koch's administration. I can literally remember turning the pages, thinking to myself, so this is the way the world works. It made me want to be a gumshoe reporter like Wayne. He trained a whole generation of journalists to view every closed door as just a chance to walk up a back alley. He used to speak to student groups wearing a trench coat and a fedora. In his deep, gravelly voice and a laugh that said, can you believe this?
It's definitely not reality TV. It's anti-reality TV. That's what it is.
I was constantly startled by what he managed to unearth, even when his subject area had already been combed through thoroughly. Wayne's scoops kept coming, the kind that put people in jail and changed election outcomes. There's scarcely a political figure who escaped Wayne's scrutiny, not Mayor Ed Koch or Senator Alphonse D'Amato or Mayor Rudy Giuliani or Donald Trump.
I've been on his tail a long time. I wrote a series of articles about him in The Voice way back in the 70s that resulted in the impaneling of a federal grand jury to investigate him, and he stopped talking to me.
Later, Trump tried to bribe Wayne by offering him a better apartment.
He said to me, Wayne, you don't have to live in Brownsville. I got plenty of apartments.
2 decades after that, but still 20 years ago, Wayne and I were arrested at the Waldorf Astoria. We were trying to cover who was going in and out of a fundraiser held by then-Governor George Pataki. Donald Trump was one of the guests. We were asked to leave, but refused. A police officer came. The New York Times wrote it up this way. There's no evidence that Mr. Barrett or Ms. Bernstein, though among the less placid of press practitioners, misbehaved. This was not Wayne's first arrest. Years earlier, he tried to attend a Trump birthday party in Atlantic City. Much of the police force then moonlighted for Trump.
And they slapped the handcuffs on me and charged me with defiant trespass. I am a convicted defiant trespasser.
If you read Wayne's book on Trump, it was originally called Donald Trump, The Deals and the Downfall, you'll understand everything you need to know about the incoming president. How, according to the book, Trump wheeled and dealed, hoodwinked banks, bragged about buying politicians, and conned his way to success. This is what Wayne said about Trump in 1992 on the Leonard Lopate Show.
My image of him, which comes through in the book, is a guy who was sitting up at 3 o'clock in the morning in his own bedroom, even through the years that he was married to Ivana, calling friends in the middle of the night, stuffing a hamburger down his throat and changing the channel.
In a 2013 article in the Daily News, Wayne wondered aloud about a decision by Governor Chris Christie to allow a dirty coal plant near Wayne's beach house to keep belching soot, about whether the plant, quote, has anything to do with why a lifelong non-smoker and runner like me wound up with a lung affliction. Wayne had spent a lifetime investigating stories like the decision to keep the dirty coal plant operating. That deal was urged on by a rogues gallery of lobbyists, including David Sampson, the Christie mentor and former chairman of the Port Authority, who is now a convicted felon. I saw Wayne a few weeks ago. Though he was confined by his need to be near an oxygen tank, he was still talking on the phone with sources he'd had for decades, still trying to gather information on the incoming president. By just a few hours, Wayne didn't make it to see Trump become president. But he left the world with a lot more journalists who are willing to defiantly trespass to get the story. We'll miss him. For WNYC, I'm Andrea Bernstein.